This podcast discusses content that may be triggering for some listeners. Please be advised, discussions include gambling language, types of gambling, and addiction.
Hello, and welcome to the Hidden Addiction Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the New York Council on Problem Gambling. Across New York State, we have 7 problem gambling resource centers dedicated to connecting individuals to care. We're here to increase awareness about problem gambling and advocate for treatment and support for persons adversely affected by problem gambling. Gambling is defined as risking something of value on a game of chance for a desired reward. Problem gambling or even gambling addiction can affect anyone at any time in their life. It might not be talked about or even overlooked because it often can be easily hidden for a long time. Our hope is this podcast shines a light on problem gambling and we can share resources and information to help those who need us. The views and opinions shared by guests may not reflect the views and opinions of the New York Council on Problem Gambling.
Hello, everybody. Thank you again for joining us for this edition of the Hidden Addiction Podcast. My name is Jeffrey Wersbicki. I am out here in near Buffalo, New York. And I'm very excited today because not only do I get to talk to two of my very favorite people in the field, but also two of my very favorite people. And I do mean that. I've learned so much from Michelle and Kristen over the years. Kristen and Michelle, give us a little bit about yourself and how did you get here?
Well, Jeffrey, it's really exciting to be here with you today. Michelle Haddon, Executive Director at the New York Council on Problem Gambling. We appreciate the time to come on and chat a little bit more and echo your sentiments that you are one of our favorite people too, for sure. It's been a fun run working together. Your energy and enthusiasm not only drives this podcast, but so much of the work that we do at the council. And for me, it's really about that. It's about the people that we work with and the people that we work for. And I came to this field really as a preventionist, trying to work towards preventing substance use in youth. And when an opportunity came along to transfer my skills over to working in youth gambling prevention, I was really excited for an opportunity in a field that was brand new and growing in New York State. And so I got here that way. Actually, I was working with a bunch of people up in Saratoga, and we were putting together a play. We actually had students come on the stage to act out through the SAD program, which is Students Against Destructive Decisions. And they were doing a whole play about gambling. And we had Jim Maney in our audience, who is our old executive director here, and Rebecca Cooper from OASAS. And we got done with that. And Jim said, why don't you come work for me at the council? And so I got an opportunity to come over and transfer my skills, not only from substance use to gambling, but really from local to statewide. And I was excited about the opportunity to have a bigger impact on a larger scale. And I've been here ever since.
And that's awesome. And you are making a huge impact. And every time I talk to someone within this organization, it's always about the people that work for NYCPG and the PGRCs. And over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of the staff. It really is that care and the compassion, the concern, and the program managers that answer the phone. I know I mention it almost in every podcast of what a great job they do to be able to just answer the phone and be able to hear those stories and be so caring. And the same thing now with the peers, which we'll talk about some of that expansion coming with the peers. But Kristen, how are you? It's good to see you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here?
Absolutely. Much like Michelle, I came into the role. I am the former PGRC director. So firsthand, I was able to work with the 7 regional PGRCs and all of our folks that work across the state and do that wonderful work that you just mentioned. However, I came into this through substance use prevention as well. So I worked in Niskayuna for a little while and met some folks out there and was able to transfer the skills over into the work that we do here. And I think what brought me to this, or what interested me most about the work in the council at that time, was really being able to work across the state with a diverse group of folks on something that we were building. And at the time that I came in, we just started hiring for the PGRCs and getting staffing together and working through a lot of interviews and a lot of travel with Michelle and Jim. And it was probably one of the best times of my life, and exciting because we were building something from the ground up, but we were doing it in a very unique way, in a very thoughtful and methodical way, and really enjoying not only working with each other and the folks at the statewide level, but each of the folks that we brought into the team at the PGRCs was extremely well thought out, and really knowing that we were all working for a common vision and a common goal and working to serve New Yorkers and their families. And I think that for us was the driving force. And 7 years later, here I am with Michelle, and we're still looking out and building and still looking at better ways and different opportunities to serve not only our folks internally within the agency and the PGRCs, but also the folks that are out there in New York State that are looking for support and looking for services. So that's kind of how I got here.
And it's great to have you. And I'm glad you mentioned the PGRCs. It's almost like we've talked before, you know?
Yeah. 7 years of it.
Met in the past. But seriously, when you talk about the PGRCs, I just realized during most of these podcasts, I don't share that much about myself. But one thing that drew me to ending up in an interview with you and Michelle and for the PGRCs was that it was a new program.
Yes.
And developing new programs, starting new programs, that was something that I had worked with Runaway and Homeless Youth. And that was something that got me into it. I saw this is a much needed program, and it's a population that's underserved. And I got to be a part of that. And it was probably the best decision of my life was to join this organization. So thinking about that, and you said methodical and with the growth, why the PGRCs? And real quick, if anybody listening does want to connect, you can reach out to your local PGRC, connect. We have a lot of programs that we're working on. We can use that support from the community. So why expand? Because what happened was Albany, a couple of people, NYCPG, and at some point there's this thought, let's take on New York State and treat New York State, though, as a community, as people who are struggling with gambling harms and need help. How did that come about?
Well, Jeffrey, I think it really evolved over time. We were three people in Albany answering the phone and trying to help people. And there were 11 programs that did treatment in the state of New York and one inpatient treatment facility way up in St. Lawrence County that was attached to a substance use inpatient facility. So the resources that were available in the state to assist people were really limited. And we would get these calls from people looking for help and have to tell them that they might have to drive 2.5 hours to go get services. It was heartbreaking. And not being able to adequately assist people really drove us to take a look at the whole system and push hard for more expansion of services, which is one of our two key tenets of our mission anyway, is to advocate for more services to help people. And so we took some time to analyze the system and make some recommendations back to the state. And the idea was no one should have to go more than 50 miles to get treatment or to get help. They should really be able to get it in their local community, even in their homes if they needed to. They should be able to get it in the language that they need it in. They should be able to get matched with somebody who's really going to be a good fit for them. And so the idea was concierge level services. How do we create a program that's somewhere we want to send our mother, brother, sister, and know that they're going to be well taken care of and know that it's going to be accessible to them? And so that was really the driving force behind telling the state that we've got to do more. We've got to expand and we really need more services for prevention, treatment, and recovery across the state. And out of that, we piloted a new program in Queens, New York. The state gave us the go ahead to kind of start a program there. And it was so successful that when the funding came from the new four commercial casinos that had taxes on their machines and table games, it went to the state for expansion of services. And the state said, this was working so great in Queens at the Center for Excellence, let's expand statewide and do these 7 problem gambling resource centers. And as you know, I know we'll talk more about, we've had nothing but success. And we have the most passionate, dedicated, and expert level staff that are in those programs, supported by a wonderful group of long-term experts at our state agency at NYCPG as well. So we really work very much in tandem across both our NYCPG and PGRCs to make sure that we're making services accessible, expert level, and really effective for the people that we're working with.
That's great. I know OASIS has been an integral part of the expansion, and the successes and the support has been great. If anyone is an OASIS provider that's listening right now, we are looking to expand those gambling services. So if you're looking for your G designation, we can help you with that. Just reach out to your local PGRC. I know I say reach out to your local PGRC, but since I'm part of it, I know how helpful we can be and how much we want to expand these services locally. And speaking of locally, you expand 7 regions across the state. So for me, from Buffalo, and we have a Prom Gambling Resource Center on Long Island, it's like 12 hours apart. You know, in New York State, it's spread out. And in New York State, we have one of the largest metro areas in the world. We have casinos across the whole state. There's gambling opportunities everywhere. So what kind of challenges does that pose when you're putting these programs in place and designing the programs?
Jeffrey, let me kick that one back to you, because I think even in you asking that question, you've experienced some of it too. And to come to that question, I think you've probably got some really good insights from the work you've done with your fellow peers that are in other PGRCs, as well as your state support staff. Like, what do you see as the biggest challenges? And then, of course, Kristen and I think we'll tag team and add on. But I think one of the things that's great about this organization is it's not just led by the people who are in executive or leadership positions. It's really led by our staff who are boots on the ground doing the work, and that's you. So tell me, what have you found?
Thank you for asking. I think with the PGRCs, I do think geography can pose some challenges, but I also think that same geography and those challenges lead to many of the successes that we've had. And what I mean is, in my area in Buffalo, in the Western region, we have some very rural areas. We have very populated areas. I also have multiple casinos within 10 or 12 minutes of my home. And then I have Canada with more casinos. Then you have regions like the Central Region, which is kind of in the middle of the state. So as PGRCs, as team leaders, when we're getting together and when we chat about some of the outreach we're trying to do in the community, some of the programs that we try to roll out, some of the trainings that we offer, we can be very specific to our region, and then we have support from regions that have similar areas. So whether it's metro areas with Rochester is very similar in some ways to Buffalo, and then you have Syracuse. So we can partner up and share things that work. We don't have to recreate the wheel. I think one of the strongest aspects of our organization is that we don't have to recreate things because everyone is helping each other. And knowing that we're separated sometimes by hundreds of miles doesn't really seem to matter to the staff, because you feel like they're in a cubicle next to you. Especially, we do a lot on Zoom and Teams, but even just picking up the phone, I'm a pick up the phone kind of guy, and I'll just ask someone a quick question. And they're always so eager to answer. Because I have a different type of region, maybe I have more colleges and I'm working on something with multiple schools. In another area, there might not be. So we can get together and say, how do we incorporate what we're doing here and make it work for your region as well? And you look at New York City, where there's just millions of people. We've had success with the media in the Western region, where we struggle a little bit more in New York City area with media attention. So how do we work, say, social media and Instagram and Facebook into what we do a little bit more to have that digital footprint? As both of you are aware, the SEO, the search engine optimization and stuff with the website, was a very important part of what I was learning. And we can take those challenges and work that digital footprint into every region. So there are challenges based on the geography, because everything is very different. But the successes we have do translate, because there's one thing we all have in common, and that's the passion to do it. That's the drive to do it. And when I talk to staff across the state, the program managers that answer the phone every day, the other TLs, the peers, NYCPG staff, everybody, it's always about, how do we make a bigger impact? Are we making the impact we want? And if we see an area of opportunity, we grab it. Now, what do we need to do? And it's tailored to each region, which is really special. I worked in an organization that everyone was in the same building, and we didn't have that kind of teamwork and understanding of each other. So long-winded answer, which you probably are not surprised, but I do appreciate getting to share a little bit of the PGRC end of what's going on, because every day the PGRC staff are tackling these challenges. You might drive 2.5, 3 hours for a 15-minute meeting, but that 15-minute meeting was the most important 15 minutes of the day, and we treat it that way. And the staff all have that passion and that drive. When Kristen, when you mentioned the people that are part of it, it's a special organization, and it really means a lot to us to be able to help people.
Jeffrey, and I think
Jeffrey, that was a perfect answer.
It was a great answer. It really was. And I think from the outside listening, the thing that you could clearly hear was that dedication, that commitment, that passion, and also how extremely solution focused we are as an organization. We have the regional PGRCs, and we are in 7 key locations across the state that service the communities that they work in and that they live in. And even when you said, oh, I have a casino that's 10, 15 minutes from my house, I think that's the unique thing about our agency as well. It's not Albany folks or New York City folks that are making decisions for what works best in Western New York. It's Western New Yorkers who live and work, raise their children and their families, have contacts that are out there working in those communities, trying to do what's best, not only for New Yorkers, but for Western New Yorkers. And I think that's the unique piece of our program and what kind of separates us out when you talk about a statewide reach. In terms of some of the barriers that I'm sure a lot of organizations and agencies face when it comes to working in a metropolitan area, we have a great team down in New York City. We have people that work in each one of the boroughs and that, again, live in those boroughs. So the unique things that come with that, they're able to address and identify and really push the work forward in the communities with the collaboration of their partners, with the connection of the folks that are in their neighborhood. Because for a long time, as we all discuss internally, gambling is a hidden addiction. So really raising the awareness in this community for the first time in many cases. And I think that was something we all talked about, what brought us here, just how little this is talked about in public places and spaces and how it's normalized. So really being able to bring that to the forefront in each of these 7 pocket communities and then having that statewide voice to really draw the attention or those social media posts that are universal across the state, that common collective, that louder voice, that person in the back of the crowd who's jumping up and down with their hand in the air, trying to say, hey, we're here and we're here collectively as an agency for New Yorkers. And I think that's really important as we look at this and how what we do good and some of those barriers.
I just want to tag on to what you both said a little bit to say that one of the things that's great, I think, about us as an organization, but also as our staff, it's been very helpful as we've grown and moved in across different communities in New York State, is definitely we have passion, but we also have a lot of humility and a lot of curiosity. Okay. And so whether it's at the individual level or the community level, we go out to find out what is happening for people. What has the experience been like? What are the barriers that they're facing? And where are they at in terms of being ready to address problem gambling or gambling harm as an issue for them individually or for their community? And that allows us to tailor make our services to meet the needs that are out there. If we don't do that, we're missing the mark. We're experts in gambling harm prevention, treatment, and recovery, but we're not experts in Jeffrey. We're not experts in Bronx community X, Y, or Z, right? We need to get that from those community members. And we are always open to do that and to have those conversations and to meet people where they are. And I think that's been a huge part of breaking down barriers and for us to have success in really raising the awareness of this issue without meeting a lot of resistance.
Yeah, it's And if anyone's listening right now and you do need to reach out to someone, you can call the New York State Hope Line. It's 877-8-HOPE-NY. That's 877-8-HOPE-NY. And that's statewide. It's 24/7. Share that number with people. Share this podcast with people. So as the programs are developing and staff are being brought aboard, currently, are there trends in New York State that are being looked at as possible expansion areas? I know that the peer aspect is something that NYCPG is looking at. What are we looking forward to, and how are the trends in New York State directing those initiatives?
So we're, you know, everything we do here at the council really is data driven. And so we've looked at and been guided through our partnership with OASAS to look at what is the data saying around where the highest need areas are population-wise. And so the three primary places that we're seeing increased risk or trends is with the co-occurring substance use disorder population, Asian American Pacific Islanders, and the 18 to 24 year old range. In that, primarily, we have access to that population right now on college campuses. So much of the work that we're doing moving forward is around making sure we're bringing awareness to those communities. And like I said before we even start the work and the program planning, we really need to find out more from those communities what this looks like for them. Why are there challenges? What's contributed? Are they ready to address this topic? And if so, what's the kind of language that we need to use to be able to be effective in those communities? All those pieces move us forward into programming that's more effective. So it's a long, slow process of building in those areas, but I think knowing that we're being driven all the way through the work that we're doing by finding information and data from those communities is really informing kind of our next steps. And it's been a great learning experience and having a good time doing it. And I think our PGRC staff have really been very involved in the conversations and being accessible resources to the folks that are in the communities that we're starting to build these relationships with. And then, of course, part of that co-occurring population is really making sure we're addressing recovery and making sure that we're accessing recovery resources that are in the communities. And we're doing that primarily through the recovery community outreach centers.
And you did mention, Jeffrey, in your question, being on the cusp and what's new, what's exciting, what are we looking forward to and how we address things. And I think you mentioned peers. So we've recently integrated 7 new program manager peers across the state and a peer with lived problem gambling experience. As we all know, less than 1% of the population seeks help or support for gambling harms, but it's not always through a treatment provider. Sometimes folks need a little bit more coaching. Some people use different pathways into their treatment or into their recovery. And by integrating peers into our system, we're ensuring that we offer a variety of alternatives for folks that need support and assistance. One of the things that we've talked a lot about in the last few weeks, just as a matter of fact, is the possibility of expansion of our peer program and what that looks like for our families. Because I think that's the other piece that we're starting to see and peeling back some layers on is not just the impacted individual, but all of the folks that are impacted within the family system, in the family unit or extended family. So exploring the possibility as this project starts to unfold and this integration starts to unfold of having family navigators within our system and really looking forward and how do we address the family unit and provide support and alternatives to, you know, brick and mortar treatment for folks that are not ready for that or that's not their pathway. And also being very mindful not to leave the families behind. because for every one person struggling with gambling harms or with gambling addiction, there's 3 to 5 other people that are impacted. And that help is not always accessible or readily available or even readily known. And I think that's what we've been finding out through our PGRCs and through our partnership with OASIS and the New York State Hope Line, is as these calls are coming in and folks are seeking service and support, a lot of it is family members. And how do we meet that family member and guide them through this process and give them that support that they're looking for? So by having 7 regional peers on staff and folks with lived experience in gambling or with gambling harms, we're really trying to address what we've seen over the last 7 years and really taking into consideration the types of callers that we're seeing, looking at the field, looking at the feedback, listening to the feedback from our peers and our PMs and our partners, and really saying, okay, how do we not only do more, but how do we meet people where they are at?
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, because thinking as Kristen was even chatting through, which was great, by the way, the idea that the biggest trend recently seems to have been this massive attention to mobile sports betting and what the impact is of mobile sports betting, and the advertising is everywhere. It's in our faces. A lot of that impact has been really unknown at this point. We don't have a lot of data on it yet. It's too early for us. Maybe in another year or so, we will have that. But the attention that's been given to it really has helped to raise awareness across the state of this issue and the significance of it. And I think, you know, some of the work that we're doing to address that college population, really that whole trend of MSB impacting young people and then people being ready to hear that message more around the impact or potential impact, I think has been a big trend we have been addressing the last 2 years and will continue to address as we move forward as well.
And if you are listening and you're 18 to 24 and on a college campus and you want to reach out and connect with your local PGRC, we're more than happy and we're focusing a lot of attention on the college campuses, and the work we're doing requires the whole school to get on board. So reach out to your local PGRC or New York Council on Problem Gambling. I do want to mention with that expansion, I do want to mention the NYCPG Training Center too. There's online resources, and the last live webinar is Gambling-Related Harms Among Veterans. It's November 10th from 12 to 1. And if you find your local PGRC on social media, you can register right from there. You go to NYCPG website. So, Chris, I'm glad you mentioned the peers. Having that personal connection and that personal recovery story is just so valuable, impactful. It provides that hope that it's somebody who has seen what I've seen, been through what I've seen, understands in a way that I need them to. And you mentioned the hidden addiction, and that first phone call is really hard for people to make sometimes. So having that possibility of someone to talk to that's been through it really is important. And I know we expanded the hours for that. If you're out there and you want to talk to a peer, you can call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 877-8-HOPE-NY, and get connected to one of the peers. As we kind of wrap up here, if you had a magic wand, and I'm sure you've thought about this, you've heard this, but if you had a magic wand and you could wave that magic wand, what would it look like for gambling harms and services and support? What would that look like for you if you could wave that magic wand in New York State and the work that we're doing?
It's a great question. I think it just requires a little bit of a pause, on, at least for me, to think about it, because just off the cuff, really quickly, I would say that it would be services, expanded services, no barriers to care. People shouldn't have to jump through hoops if they're struggling. They shouldn't have to travel 50 miles. They shouldn't be denied services because they can't afford them. It really should be a well thought out system. If that was the wand for how this looks in terms of treatment and recovery. However, magic wands are magic wands being what they are. And if you said, you know, what does this look like? Of course, I would hope that no one would have to struggle and that this addiction wasn't an addiction and people were not impacted and families were not impacted by this addiction. That would be the magic wand moment, but I don't think that that's a reality or that's a tool that we have. We at the council pie in the sky. We keep chipping away at that vision, minute by minute, day by day, service by service, to reduce those barriers, to increase access to care, to raise awareness, to advocate for families, to advocate for people struggling, and to really advocate for increased services, increased funding to service the people of New York. So that would be my magic wand. And of course, on a personal note, free ice cream for everyone. You know, like, I think that would be a, you know, if we're using the magic wand here, we might as well use it for something that I can get out of it too. Free ice cream, everybody.
All right, Kristen, you're giving free ice cream. Then I'm giving homes to all the dogs who are in shelters. Yeah, for sure.
We got our things over here. You can clearly hear.
You know what I hear? It's not for you. It's for others.
Yeah.
And as we kind of wrap up here,
I don't need to wave my magic wand.
Oh, I get the wand too.
I'm just kidding,
Michelle. Jimmy. If what would that look like to provide that little extra? How about that as the a little bit extra that we need?
Yeah, I think Kristen said it all perfectly. My first gambling client, I had no clue that I even had a gambling client. I was working in a hospital in outpatient mental health, and I had a guy who had been diagnosed and was struggling with schizophrenia. And he came into a session and told me that he was gambling on the lottery left and right, and that he needed his rep payee to give him more money out of his allowance for scratch-off tickets. That was so low on the priority list of things that we were dealing with him, that it never even crossed my mind. And then I was in prevention programs where we're doing raffles and people are working in school districts and we're putting up the football squares on the bulletin board in the classroom. And that idea that everywhere you went, no one had a clue. This was low on the priority list and people were not aware, A, that it was an issue or if they did, how to address it. And I think if I had my magic wand, the idea that we get to a point where awareness is so high that those things don't happen anymore. Whether you're going to a hospital or a pediatrician, if that language comes up, it triggers for people. And they know not only that it's an issue that needs to be addressed, but where they're going to send that person for the help, and that that help is accessible and there for the people. So I think whether we're in any setting in our community, that we're aware, and that the shame and stigma that's attached right now to this disorder is gone to the extent that people feel comfortable reaching out for help and saying, I know I'm not alone. Other people are struggling with this. This is something that can be addressed. I think when we get to that point, I'll feel like it's time for retirement. I'll be ready to go. Pass the torch.
That's great. I appreciate that too. And so again, if you're listening and you can share this podcast with your friends, your loved ones, your colleagues, if someone is searching, looking for help, you can call 877-8-HOPE-NY, visit the New York Council on Problem Gambling website, find your local PGRC. The staff is amazing. The people answering the phones are incredible. Everybody was working towards helping the community, and that's what we do every single day. The 2026 annual conference is March 10th through the 12th. So mark it on your calendars.
There's, come be a part of the magic.
Come be a part.
Come be a part of the magic.
So yeah. And, you know, and I always, whenever I talk to people about the conference, and I know it seems a little biased because I'm with the organization, but it is the best conference every year that I've ever been to. The topics, the workshops, the presenters, the staff, the people you meet, it's just different. It's real people talking about how to help, how to advocate for more services. And it's just really an amazing conference. So I do encourage everyone to keep an eye on those dates, pencil it in. There's information coming out on social media, or you can visit the New York Council on Problem Gambling website. So as we wrap up, is there anything that you want to add? Maybe you didn't get to share anything that you want to throw in there. I know, you know, I do appreciate free ice cream as well. That, see, this is the part of this organization where, like, food connects us. Our experiences connect everybody. But we have one thing in common, and that's the mission that we have to help people in New York State. And it's unsolicited help. We want to help people because we know they're struggling.
You know, I think I speak for a large population of our staff or demographic of our staff that enjoys ice cream and food and dogs and all of the things. And yeah, Jeffrey, I think you made a really good point. The work, or inside the work, I should say, we genuinely like each other. We get along wonderfully as a team. And I think that's what makes this even more enjoyable for us. And when folks come to the conference, like you said, what separates, or people on the outside saying, oh, you know, what separates this conference from every other conference? It's because we like the folks we work with. We love our private practitioners, our Oasis providers, our, you know, addiction treatment center folks who come and represent our folks in recovery. You know, we come from behind those registration tables and those podiums and talk to people. And we talk about all types of things, whether, you know, one second, just like this podcast, we're talking about raising awareness in recovery and addiction services and prevention. And then the next minute, we're talking about dogs and ice cream, because we're people and we all understand that. So I think that's the unique thing about the work that we do, is that we do it with a purpose, and we do it with a common goal and a common vision and a common mission, but we do it with folks that we genuinely have a good time with and that we get along very well with. And if, you know, I think you can hear it when you spoke and about the relationship that we have with our partners in the PGRCs and each other. So I think that's really important to highlight for folks too.
I love all that, Kristen. That was great. I think for me, it's the future. We're like at an exciting time for the future of not only our organization, but the field. There is more awareness and attention being given to the issue of gambling harm than ever before in the history of this, of dealing with this issue in New York State. And so I think we're all really in a great place to see services grow and expand as we move forward. And the collaboration that is happening now across different fields and different organizations in New York State to address the issue is just at the beginning. So I really look forward to the growth of our organization through those collaborative efforts and through those new relationships, and really continuing to drive the mission forward, as well as to make the shift that, you know, this is truly a public health issue that needs to be addressed by everyone. This is not an individual issue, and we're not just going to provide treatment. We need to address the environment and everything we're doing to contribute to the issue as well. And I think we've got the partners and the people standing behind us now to really move that mission forward and in a really comprehensive way. So I'm so excited about the future and doing it all with all of you, because that really is the joy of every day of working, is being with such passionate, energetic, and enthusiastic experts. So it's exciting.
You're right. And we have the right partners, we have the right people in the community, and we have the right leadership to lead us forward at New York Council on Problem Gambling. With me was Michelle Haddon and Kristen Sweeter. I thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we'll get together again and chat some more as new things come about. Thank you for everybody who was listening to this edition of the Hidden Addiction Podcast. I believe it'll be 2026 next time we're talking. So thanks again for joining me today.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeffrey.